Coming next week in your OTB JA feed.
Nobody wants to be flogging players anymore. Like we did back then. Like back then, you were back in August, September, October. 3 months of pre-season for three games. For 3 games before Christmas.
An hour in the company of Armagh's All-Ireland winning manager, Kieran McGeaney.
We live in a world of clickbait and things like that. So you're seen as this particular type of person.
We'll get his thoughts on football's new rules, his relationship with the media, and the best way to treat players. Don't miss out on this in-depth conversation with Armagh's All-Ireland winning manager, Kieran McGeaney, and so much more. Become a member now at offtheball.com/join.
The Football Pod on Off The Ball.
In partnership with AIB.
Proud sponsors of the GAA Senior Football Championship.
Check out hashtag the toughest for more.
All right, we're back. The Football Pod. I think, lads, this is our fifth show this week. I'm not going to say we're sick of the sight of each other, but we've been lucky to get this pod together. I was stuck in traffic on the way home from Castlebar. James O'Donoghue managed to make his way out of the pub. A beautiful afternoon in Killarney. Paddy Andrews, life is tough in your house at the minute. You've got this beautiful new arrival. You must be tired because I've woken you up from your slumber at about 9:30 here to get this pod recorded. You poor man.
They have. I was having a beautiful sleep there for about 10 minutes. And I just hear, right in the back of my mind, the phone was vibrating. And I checked, it was fucking Tommy Rooney regularly. Jeez.
The vein.
That's what they turned lights.
Tommy should be thankful because we've given him the day off tomorrow. We sacrificed our own evenings.
Thank you.
For Tommy.
Just for you, T.
That's all right, Tom.
Just for you.
I appreciate
Castlebar,
it.
Castlebar, were you parked, were you in Castlebar Bishops in the car park?
Clubhouse.
Just getting out onto that road. Oh, man. It's about an hour just getting onto that road out there. Jeez.
Yeah. And I got out just ahead of the Galway bus, legging it. Anyways, Galway, maroon and white, they got the job done. Did you hear Pádraig Joyce? He was listening to the show on the Galmount the other night.
Well, I think he was there. There was a fella down the back with this tash that didn't quite sit right on the lip and this wig. And I said, that's fucking Joyce, that is.
I think he could have been there as well. But it just shows you, lads, people are listening. And what they would have heard was James O'Donoghue being a mile off in his prediction. Finian Hanley being close-ish in his prediction.
Was I a mile off?
Hey, Paddy Andrews. Three was back Galway. Three was back Galway.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... but the only one talking sense there was myself and Mickey Conroy on Friday night. The only one talking sense.
You said it'd be a draw. You said it'd be a draw. It'd be extra time.
Mickey, we're a lot closer though. You were very confident, lads.
Mickey was there. He was only there to be as funny as possible, which he succeeded at. And that's why he was back in Mayo. He was doing it as a joke.
That was his last punchline, yeah.
The man stole the show, didn't he? I think he stole a piece of James O'Donoghue's heart as well. Kindred spirits.
Yeah, I think he's one of the funniest people I've met, I reckon. Such a an easygoing, funny man.
He was great, Chef.
Good guy. We had a great show.
Hey, Tommy, we all back Galway to win. Galway, they got there in the end.
You got there, boys. Paddy, this was a cracker. It was a classic. I wouldn't say the quality was off the charts, but that maybe added to it a little bit more. Like, there was a lot of sloppiness, a lot of turnovers, a couple of fouls, but maybe that was just the tension in the 27,000 packed into McHale Park and Castlebar. Give us your reading of the game. I was obviously there for Off The Ball. Give us your reading of today.
I thought it was a brilliant game. I did. And I think maybe a little bit harsh on the quality. You have to, like, it looked, I know you were at it to Jim Maroney watching it on telly, but the intensity of the game, like, it was those two teams. It's what Mayo do best. It's one of their biggest strengths. That kind of athleticism, the power, the intensity they play at. The big issue for Mayo, we said it on Friday night, we said it any time we've really spoken about them. If you look at that, the third quarter from Mayo, they outscore Galway 10-2. You know, and it's like, within 10 minutes of the restart, they're back level. You know, and it's set up for Mayo. They have a gale force wind that they're back. And that third quarter is everything about them. They go after Galway. Play on the front foot, they're really brave. That's never in doubt with Mayo. And they clip a couple of scores, a couple of two-pointers. Manny Ruag gets one, right at Donoghue as well. Like, but then the final quarter is everything that's going to cost Mayo in all of these big games. Like, it's the final quarter, they have a gale force win at their back. All the momentum is with them. They only score two more points. Yeah. Both Ryan Donoghue tap over free from 13 metres and re-pits at 45, but they've seven other opportunities. You know, poor old Paul Towey comes off the bench. He has a couple of misses. Jordan Flynn has a couple of misses.
Darney's blocked. Hessian has the goal chance.
Darney's blocked. Towey's blocked again. You know, he's three shots and it's unbelievable from Dylan McHugh. But it's just...
But listen, Mayo have four scores. This is where I'm coming in on this, right? Mayo have four scores in this game. Reap, goalkeeper, Ruan, Darren McHale and Ryan O'Donoghue. Did he have anyone else? I'm not sure they had anyone else. Mayo have always struggled. Listen to my point. This is my point. Mayo have struggled for shooters, right? They throw on Fergal Boland into the second half of that game with a couple of minutes to go. Don't know if he touches the ball. They throw in Paul Towey
in the last play.
Okay, well, they throw in Paul Towey.
He doesn't get a shot.
But Towey has a couple of efforts. Like, and I know, right? But what happened across the month of May? Why wasn't Paul Towey and Fergal Boland racking up the swords against Sligo and against Leitrim? Like, I don't know. I just feel like they haven't managed these players as well as they could have. They haven't. I don't know. Fostered a culture around the shooters to get them into the right frame of mind, and today they were lined on players that aren't motoring well enough. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too kind to Paul Towey here, but I just feel like
Look, I know Jimmy. We don't want to single out individual players, and it's not about that. The crux of Mayo's issue, and this is what we've said, and we get a lot of stick back. Tommy, you were even getting a bit of heckling there the other night in the Galmont from Mayo supporters. They do lots of stuff really well. They're a really good team. They tick a lot of boxes. McStay himself has alluded to this in terms of just doing the basics really well. We never question Mayo's heart, their passion, their bravery when they play. But the crux of the reason why they will not win these big games, and they've lost so many of these tight games, not just today, not just last season, over the last 10 years, when push comes to shove against the best teams, they do not have the quality of shooters, the firepower front to win these games. And that final quarter, not just Paul Towey or Ruan as a bit of a Hail Mary at the end or Fergal Boland, or any of the individuals, it's across the board. Outside of Ryan O'Donoghue, there was no one in that Mayo team that I am backing to kick a score in that last play. And if you look at the upside on Galway, I would say I'd be happy with Rob Finnerty taking it on. I'd be happy with Shane Walsh. I'd be happy with Damien Comer, Killian McDade, Matty Tierney,
Peter Conroy.
But no, in terms of if my life is on the line, there's five or six players from Galway that I'd say, yeah, I'd be happy for them to pull the trigger. Whereas on the Mayo side, despite all the good stuff they have, that is the crux of their problem. And it's not harsh. It's the fucking reality. And I'm sure Kevin McStay and those Mayo players would look at this. I'm sure they practice their shots every night in training. But you look at the final quarter of that game today, that is why they will not win the All-Ireland. That is why they will not win these big games on a consistent basis, because they do not have the firepower. And it was just clear as day in that final quarter. It was there to win.
But if you look, Betty, on the opposite side, Conroy, Galway were one up after about maybe 63, 64 minutes. Conroy just slips onto his right and never a guaranteed shot. But for Conroy, it's a guaranteed score.
Nailed that.
And he just puts it over the black spot, puts Galway two up. I just thought like that was the difference class. Now, like I maybe gave a bit of stick there to the Mayo subs unfairly. Like Galway subs, Malloy came on, he had three turnovers. Like he had three turnovers.
He kicked the ball into Rob Finnerty, and it was like if I was Finnerty, Finnerty did go mental, and I was like, oh yeah, I agree with you on that one. But he gets a great block on Carney as well.
There was lots of things going on, but do you know what I found interesting? First of all, by the way, never a penalty.
I didn't watch it back, and that is
we can criticise Mayo what they did and what they didn't do. They conceded a penalty that was never a penalty. If that wasn't conceded, you could see Mayo going on and maybe winning the game. Also, on one thing that threw me, right, the Hessian goal chance. First of all, I don't think he did anything wrong. He pretended to kind of lash it hard across his body and opened his body to go near post. That was fine. Okay, I think that was actually a good goal effort, especially for a cornerback. That shot was taken, right, after 66 minutes and 25 seconds, right? They get, Reap takes the 45. And the next kick out is taken on 67:25. So that's a full minute, right? Now, with the hooter, there was only 4 minutes left anyway, right? And they were losing. And they've lost a full minute to that 45. even the urgency, I thought, in the whole thing was down. It was like, get it down, get it over, get the ball out, we're on them. They were absolutely taking their time. It was like, we'll take our time right now.
They still have two shots after that.
Yeah. I know, but it was just the urgency wasn't there. I thought, I don't know. No, they did have... No, the last shot, in fairness, that...
Rouen takes.
Who took the last offside of the boot? Yeah,
Rouen.
It was a very tough shot.
Yeah.
And it was probably a 2 out of 5, maybe 2 yeah. out of 6 effort. It was a hard shot that they didn't manage to get.
Sorry, I didn't think you were being overly harsh on Towie, right? Maybe I was overly kind to him. But Paddy, I just remember his face in the Sligo game in McHale Park a month ago. He gets 5 minutes that day. 5 minutes. And you turn to him at halftime this time. Surely when you're playing Sligo and Leitrim, that's your time to get the reps in. That's the time to get the confidence into these boys. And between himself and Boland, they played 20 minutes against Sligo and Leitrim. Like, they're your shooters. They're the fellas you need in the second half when the chips are down. So, I don't know. I would question that part.
We don't know, are the guys carrying Knox or Niggles? Are they not training well or anything like that? That's going to be Kevin McStay and the coach is going to have to look at that. I said it from day one this year with Mayo. Losing Killian O'Connor didn't make sense to me. Now, again, I don't know the ins and outs of that as well, but Mayo did not have the luxury of someone. Put it this way, if Killian O'Connor's on that squad, he's someone I'd back to take that shot in the last minute. And outside of Ryan O'Donoghue, who was being picked up by Johnny McGrath, and to be fair to Ryan O'Donoghue, he looked like he was absolutely bollocksed in that last play because he does so much work for the team and he's carrying that burden. They just don't have that depth of forward in the big moments. And it may sound harsh, but you have to look at the facts with this Mayo team. And because Mayo, their supporters and those players themselves, they're judging themselves. They're holding themselves to the standards of Galway, Armagh, Donegal, Dublin and Kerry in the past. They're looking at All-Irelands. And that is where they're short. They do so many good things. And like I say, we never come on here. We've no skin in the game here. It's going, oh, we've a vendetta against Mayo or anything like that. There was an opportunity there today in that final quarter and it just came home to roost again and again and again. And they might go, they go into a group now, they might get a big scalp, but if you're talking about winning the All-Ireland, you've got to win 4 or 5 big games on the spin, and they don't have the firepower to consistently do that. And the other side as well, Galway dug that out. They weren't at their best. That second quarter, Galway showed exactly how good they can be when they get the press on. They get domination around the middle, and they're just ruthless there. And that was enough to win the game. That was Galway not at their best tonight, lads. Not at their best.
No way.
But in the big moments, they have depth of quality. And that is without their two boys.
The starters.
Walsh and Comer.
So
it's a brilliant spot for them to be in. It's a brilliant spot. Seeing the reaction from Paul Joyce and those players afterwards. It sets them up to go into a tough group now. You know, that was nearly the booby prize for winning the Connacht Championship. But in terms of momentum, I was just looking at the scenes at the end. I was envious, I have to say. You don't miss playing any football at all. Yeah, but you just see, they look like a group. You'd be buzzing, they're buzzing to be there. They know they're in a good place. They're gunning for that All-Ireland. It's a big win today in their rivals' backyard. It just seems like they can't wait. They'll have a few points tonight. They can't wait to go trade it on Tuesday. Mm. They can't wait to have a crack at this honour. It just seems like a great place to be. And for Mayo on the other side, it's just another, it's the latest hard luck story, but it's the same things that are going to cost them.
It is. But the only thing is, Tommy, before I say that.
Yeah.
Like I already said, the penalty went against Mayo, right, which I thought was incredibly harsh. Brilliantly dispatched, by the way, by Tierney across his body with pace. But also the Ryan O'Donoghue 2-pointed free that was tipped over. I don't know, am I a bit put out by the rule or am I put out by the decision? I think it was probably gone over the crossbar by the time he touched it. By the time Gleeson touched it, I think it might have been over the crossbar.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know, is it fair that you take the 2 points or the 1 point off it just because it is touched by a defender? If it's flicked on by a forward, I'd say fair enough. bring it down to one. But I mean, flicked over by the keeper. There's no need for that.
What do you mean?
But I mean, if it's dropped short and the forward.
Oh yeah, yeah, right, I get you.
But I mean, if it's tipped over by the keeper, I don't think there's any need to reduce that from 2-1.
Is Ryan O'Donoghue's first 2-pointer of the second half, was that touched? That looks like that was a finger. Was that?
Oh, really?
Sean Fitzgerald was blocking him.
Okay. Only because he runs off going, that was two.
He was bad for it, yeah.
So straight away, I was like, that's not a two. I was like, that can't be a two. If you're claiming a two that much, it can't be a two.
Yeah, but in fairness, right, and I know
I agree with you, Jimmy, just on the rule, I think it's very harsh.
That was a great score. Like, and that would have been inspirational because I don't know who gets one to start. Rouen gets one. Like, they've got four. That would have been another two. It would have been a huge, huge score. No, still was a massive kick, but it would have been a huge score.
Do you know what though? Right, I know you're saying the rule, and maybe I didn't actually even think it's Gleeson's hand past the post. Is the ball already over? Like, I could see Gleeson lining up to try and get a touch on it. There's a bit of ingenuity in that too. Like, I really respect that because he knows the rule. He's getting up there. He's getting a touch on it. And if your two-pointer hasn't gone far enough over the bar and the keeper can get a touch on it, fair enough.
Or if fair enough to block, over the bar. Hang on. Yes, fair enough. The rule is if the ball goes over the bar, it doesn't have to go a certain distance over the bar.
Okay. I think it adds a little bit of spice to it. But if it's going to be controversial, if it's going to cause chaos, I don't know.
So
maybe,
from now
maybe
on, you have to kick the ball at least 10 yards over the bar.
As they hit the back neck, the back net behind the goal.
Yes. But look, it just added another bit of drama to this rivalry between the two of them. And it always goes down to the wire with them. It often does. And yeah, millimetres were the difference. Like, thinking of the first half, I thought Mayo played it quite well, Paddy. And as you mentioned
very
earlier,
smart.
On, Galway weren't great. Their first three scores, Paul Conroy 2-pointer off the right, a Paul Conroy 2-point free, and a Paul Conroy 2-pointer off the left. It takes a bit of art to be able to do that with both feet from out the field.
It's quality, Tommy. That's, we know he has that, and he's had it for 15 years. So
yeah.
I agree. The Mayo got off to a perfect start. Couldn't ask for more from them to keep the ball. They're playing to an unbelievably stiff breeze and they try and just control the game and minimise possession that Galway have to make hay with those 2-pointers. And for the first 10-12 minutes goes really well. And they get the goal. Darren McHale's goal. Dylan McHugh just switches off for half a second. It's brilliantly worked. And Mayo get a goal into the breeze and think, okay, now try and just keep control of the game. But look, they're playing. Galway are an exceptional team. And once they get a handle on Reap's kickouts from about 15 minutes on, that second quarter, they absolutely, and it's not just, and this is what I'm saying with Galway, this is why we're big on Galway, and again, we get stick over this, going, you fucking love Galway. It's, you know, Johnny Marr was quiet enough, Conroy steps up, Keane Darcy just comes completely into the game, quiet enough second half, Matty Tierney comes into the game, they've so many match winners and physicality around the pitch that all, none of them had 10 out of 10s. You know, Conroy, particularly in that third quarter, goes out of the game completely. But when push comes to shove, he comes up with it. Killian McDade, again, what a weapon this guy is. When the shit's hitting the fan, he takes it with us. He nearly runs the pitch. Michael Donnell-esque in the second half and wins a free.
Takes on the issue.
They just have so many different match winners. And that's why, look, Galway are going to be right there in terms of the All-Ireland, and it's because of that depth, and they still have the two boys to come back. But it wasn't them at their best. But Mayo's first 15 minutes or so, they had to just try and keep that up for as long as they could. But when Galway got hot, and Mayo won't be the only team they do this to, they, no one had an answer to that. That kind of 15 minutes to half time, Galway were off.
It was nine in a row kickouts, Paddy. And I don't think even McStay realised. I could be wrong with that. It could be one or two Mayo ones.
They won over 50% of Mayo's kickouts. Do you know what the fascinating thing with me, even against the breeze in the second half, why is Conor Gleeson going short? You know, he's chipping it out. It's like, fuck that.
Position, But lads, at the end of the day,
launches. With that middle third Galway half, go long.
Yeah.
But as much as we say, right, the penalty, the misses, maybe a small bit of quality. I think it's level just past the hour when Reap kicks it to Finnerty and Brickin brings him down for the black card. So it's
114
it's
apiece.
Like all these things have gone against Mayo. And like, I agree, they're not playing with that quality that maybe you'd hope from, you know, a contender or from a winning side, but they're sticking in these games.
There's something there.
There's something there, but they're never going to win. They're never going to win.
Yeah,
look, they're never going to win the big prize. Like, they're not, right?
What do you mean by that?
They're never going to win Tommy, no matter what they have. Tommy, yeah, shut up, Tommy.
This is not.
No, I wanted you to finish the point. I wanted you. Reality. I wanted you to finish the point.
No, what you want to do is get me to say something that you're going.
No,
to
No, you were just being very clinical there. I thought you meant in general over the next 150 years.
No association. No, they're never going to win the big prize with the quality they have. It's just a bit down. But everything else, the spirit, the heart, the determination, everything else they have, the will, the want. But there's things going against them constantly. And I'm talking about over years. This isn't over weeks or months. Like, there's OGs in All-Ireland finals. There's this, there's that. There's constantly something that goes wrong with them.
There's always something.
And even it comes down to that penalty was harsh. Fair enough, the black card, but they've instigated that themselves as well. So okay, you'd have to say they're unlucky, but it's just it's ongoing.
Yeah, I said something that started the pod here that I questioned the quality, right? And a little bit of that is because I was live, I was there, I was caught up in it, and I was afraid of being too enthusiastic about it. It was actually a really bloody good game of football, and I know
it was a brilliant match.
Yeah, I know you're saying the penalty was harsh, right? And I know you're saying the umpire got it wrong with the Gleeson call, potentially. And I know
there's Paddy an Neely, angle, there's, but there's I think an angle, Neely, Tommy, on the Gleeson point where it actually looks like super slow one. It looks like it's just as it's crossing the bars. Wow. It's so difficult to call.
Yeah,
you'll see it on the telly. I know you were there, but the Sunday game had two or three different angles because it was a big talking point. And like there's one angle you say, yeah, it actually hasn't crossed the bar, and there's another one that looks like it clearly has. So it's a hard call.
Interesting. But sorry, I just want to make the point that, right, like when I said the quality thing, right, the amount of turnovers, some of them are sloppy, some of them are from brilliant tackling. But I think Paddy Neelan allowed that game to go as it should have gone. And I know it maybe got some things wrong, but I just honestly think when we're assessing players, managers, performances, I know it's a cliche, but they're all making mistakes. But I just think if Neelan's going to get a bit of grief about the penalty and that, I just think he had a fairly good game out there today. And I think he added to the occasion.
The turnovers, Tommy, was because of phenomenal tackling from both players. And again, this is what Mayo do so well. They're unbelievably aggressive. They're brave. They go after you. And to be fair, again, at big moments of the second half, when the tide was turning against Galway, they get some unbelievable turnovers from the forward line as well. So that's what I thought. It was a brilliant game. Not because mistakes are going to happen when teams are playing toe-to-toe with that intensity. And I agree. Look, there's one or two calls you kind of go, not sure on that one. And that's going to happen in every game. I don't think the Mayo players or Kevin McStay are going to be looking to go, we lost that game because of Paddy Neal. I agree. Look, the penalty was maybe a little bit harsh. But they've got to be looking at themselves. I think they will maybe supporters or media get carried away with things like that. But those type of calls happen in all big games. So.
But I think that was a massive call, that penalty. Like you're it's right, 10, it was. It's 10 points to 1-2, I think, at the time. Yeah. And then they go in 1-10 to 1-2.
1-11 to 1-3.
Okay, so it's 1-10 to 1-2 at the time. They get a point each before that. But like after that, everyone, even when we were watching the game, was like, that's it. You know, it's an unbelievable downer for Mayo at the time. It seems like a harsh
call. It's usually, Jimmy, isn't it? When the attacker gets the shot off, the ref usually goes, right, I'm not going to give the free or the penalty then. That he actually gets the shot off. And I don't even think Galway are massively looking for a penalty there. If Paddy doesn't give it, I don't think the Galway lads are going screaming over to him. No. Like Matty Rowan just gets caught, but he gets back. He's breaking his arse to get back there. And it just did. It looked soft, but to be fair, great move by Galway, and then Matty Tierney steps up and talking to there's clinical stepping up, absolutely smashes it into the side net. And so it was a big moment. Mayo look back, fuck, 50-50 call, but I'm not saying that's the reason Mayo lost the game.
No,
there's just issues that I keep cropping up with them, unfortunately.
I know you've referenced the third quarter, Paddy, and how well Mayo did to eviscerate that lead after half time, and they got it back to level. They got it back to a point. Yeah, but I just felt like McHale Park was like a bloody volcano about to erupt. And if they could have taken the lead in that spell, if they could have gone one ahead, two ahead, I don't see Galway coming back there. But there's one fella I want to mention, right? Because
they had the chances, Tommy. They had all the chances to do that.
They did. Scores were hard come by in that second half for Galway, right? And I don't think he had his greatest game, but I think he had big moments in it. And it happens a lot in the second half with this fella. Killian McDade 48 minutes in, 80 meters. 80 metres, he runs with the bloody ball. He's being chased down by a Mayo train, about five or six carriages. Eventually, he gets fouled. Rob Finnerty taps it over. Tierney gathers a mark a couple of minutes later, and it leads to another McDade point. And he actually has a shot later on, a couple of minutes later. It was a huge 10 minutes. Yeah, from Killian McDade, where he had a couple of big interventions. And look, I just think,
Their last score after Dylan McHugh gets the block, it's McDade who carries the ball up the pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know, breaking those lines is so key. When you're tired, when nobody really wants the ball because they're wrecked and they're defending, some fella to have
machine
cojones and just carry the ball with skill up the field. Like
he's such a weapon to have. Galway can bang it long and the likes, and they lose Maher in the first half as well. So now you're talking Maher, Comer and Walsh are missing for that second half, and that's, look, maybe power choice, a point to that as why they struggled. But they've guys who can win it around the middle. They've got to kick the ball inside to dangerous guys. And you know what? If all else fades, it's really like a running back in the NFL. Let's just pop it to Killian McDade. And that run, Ed the Hessian is literally trying to hang out of him for the entire length of the pitch, and he's pushing him off with one hand. Jordan Flynn tries to get after him. It's just, he's such a tool to have, but he has a bit of quality at the end of it as well. I know he skies one on his left foot, but again, similar, he had a period in the Roscommon game in the Connacht semi-final as well, where he just goes half for 5 minutes, and he can just, we had it with McCaffrey for us, just like, we're under pressure, just get the ball to him and he just gets us out of here. Gets us out of danger.
50 yards up.
Exactly. And he's such a weapon to have. And you're right, it wasn't his best game and he went in and out of the game, but in big moments, Galway have big plays from those guys.
Yeah.
Like, it's not their first rodeo. These are blue chip guys. So,
do you know who I thought was decent for Mayo, who probably hasn't shone consistently for a while, but David Neary, I thought, like, very good on the ball, nice and clever, kind of very good burst of pace, took his point well. They took him.
Who does he remind you of, Jimmy?
Go on, who?
O'Hanlon and Monaghan.
First couple of years are very good.
The end product isn't always there. His point that he gets in the second half, Jimmy, you've got to look to his right hand side after his goal chance in the second half. He goes through and kind of blazes it over the bar, and I think, okay, it's not a bad score, but you look to the replay shows from behind the goal, Aidan O'Shea and who else is it? Jack Kearney just squares and it's a palm goal into the net as well. Maybe that'll come with experience, but he reminded me of O'Hanlon from Monaghan, just a handful of jinky, dangerous, but
I think he shows on the ball a lot more than most. You know, he wants to make something. He kind of drops the shoulders and eyes you up and wants to go around you and wants to do something, which I thought was interesting. Yeah, especially for 10, I was impressed with him.
An interesting prospect. He obviously a breakthrough year this year. There's a bit of a rawness about him, but I like that. And I think the Mayo fans were probably a little surprised he was taken off, but they were trying to get a shooter on.
Could have been knackered, lads. Like,
yeah, he could have been
playing that intensity game as well, you know.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to keep this pod quick this week, right? There was a second provincial final. We're going to get to that after the break. We've been with each other a lot this week. We're going to be back together for our members pod on Wednesday. We're looking ahead to the Ulster football final. Armagh against Donegal, a repeat of last year. Always a lot of colour and excitement with those two. And then we've got a little Leinster final to look ahead to as well. Meade against Louth. The Battle of the Boyne. There's going to be some crack in Croke Park next Sunday. Going to be some crack. We're looking forward to that. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, hang tight. Going to take a quick break here. I'm also going to play a trailer for the Kieran McGeaney interview that we've got coming up on Wednesday on Off the Ball. You'll enjoy this one. There's so much in it. I managed to get an hour with Kieran McGeaney. He says it himself. He wouldn't talk to me unless it was for a good reason. And that reason is that Armagh Football are trying to raise funds to build a new training base. They train on one pitch. I'd say it's a bit like Innisfail's, Paddy. I'm not sure how rough and ready it is in Innisfail's or how many pitches he have, but all of Armagh's teams train in Callan Bridge, and they have done for the last 30, 40 years, I think. And it's a floodplain, right? Every year it floods about three or four times. So they're after moving out.
That sounds like Innisfail's, yeah.
Yeah, they're in the midst of moving out to the outskirts of Portadown, the old St. Malachy's J Club, and it's a very impressive setup. So I got an hour with Kieran McGeaney, so I took it, and we cover loads. Have a look at the trailer. The trailer doesn't give much away, but it just shows you how much potential there is in this chat, because you'll be interested after it. The Pod, of course, brought to you every week with thanks to AIB. They also brought us on the road to the Gall Mount on Friday night. I mentioned how busy a week we've had. If you haven't missed that, go check it out. Even Pádraig Joyce managed to watch it before the Connacht final. We're back after this.
I understand reporters have to sell newspapers, like they have to sell articles, but, and nobody's going to pick up an article going, oh, you know, Kieran, like, you know, it was an interesting conversation, no bad fella. You know, like, it's better to turn and twist things, and, like, I've seen things over the years, like, and people use them in changing rooms and dressing rooms, and I have no doubt that this is going to be the same. Like, I don't really buy into the genius gobshite type of thing. Like, you know, if you win, like, you're a genius, and, like, it's all down to players. We don't know how to measure Gaelic football.
What do you mean by that?
But, like, how do you measure, like, an all-star? Some of the best footballers I've ever played with and against, like hadn't won too much. Like, so it's funny how people come up now and they've all of this really good stuff, but back then, and I was there going, it was horrible. And he actually locked the front door, so we had to go in the back door. He says his boys aren't good enough to go in the front door.
Some PR manager has told you to roll out that line, because I've heard you say it a few times, and I don't think you believe it.
It doesn't happen in any other sport. Jais has been unbelievable in doing that, like, in terms of how he's added to Galway year on year.
I think there's a bit of blood in your face, but you do win, like.
That wasn't mine.
It wasn't
that? Oh, a bit like a tank, so he was. He'd kill you. It's not an analytical or a statistical thing. It's how effective somebody is. We live in a world of clickbait and things, like, and so you're seen as this particular type of person, and, like, you know that's not you. You shouldn't have to kiss somebody's ass to get fair play. I'm here for a reason. As you know from your experience, texting me and asking me if I want to do something that, like, doesn't usually end. So is it the same sentence? Just want to keep my head down.
Yeah.
Say very little.
Understood.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I do believe this project is important. OTB GAA.
You're very welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy Anders and James O'Donoghue. James, we started in Connacht. It was the big story today, but there was also the small matter of a Munster football final in Killarney too. Can you talk us through your day? You're sun-kissed, I would say, Gossin. You've been on the terraces.
I feel it. My face is burning. Yeah, I was in the terrace in Killarney. Nice crowd. Nice buzz around Killarney.
Did you walk up? Did you have a bit of morning porter? Did you?
No, Jesus. No. Myself and Christina walked up from our place up to Fitzgerald Stadium. Lovely crowd going in. So I stopped for a few chats. Met the uncle and the aunt and the father and a few cousins. Stayed in the terrace. Sun was absolutely baiting down.
Look lovely.
The stand was shaded. I was like, you would not want to be in the stand all today. So we were in the terrace. Nice atmosphere. And, you know, started off, everyone was expecting or hoping for a great game, and there was nice little buzz, but pretty quickly it turned into a bit of a procession, if I'm being honest. Now, that said, that's not to do Clare a disservice. I think Clare actually played quite well, especially in the second half. But there was definitely an air of inevitability, and that's what you get when it's Division 1 champions against third place in Division 3. Like, that is genuinely, like, there was a little bit of a levels issue. Kerry pushed up. They went full at it. They left a 3v3 at home, and they backed their defenders. And in fairness to Jason Foley, Tom Sullivan, and Dylan Casey, they didn't give their men much. So even when Kerry were maybe turned over in attack, they weren't punished. Now, that was due to the fact that Clare didn't really want to kick the ball, didn't want to risk the transition. They ran a lot of ball and left Kerry get bodies back then to tackle him. I think if you're going to make hay with these rules, you need to kick it. You need to risk it. Even risk losing 2 out of 3, because that 1 out of 3, you could get a goal and then you might win the kick out. It might stem something, but not risking anything doesn't give you anything. And Kerry just had that class then. Tony Brosson gave in a beautiful ball to Clifford to fetch for his first goal. Then the second goal, Kerry worked it worked it brilliantly. Burns has a shot where he could have fisted over the bar. Thankfully, he went for goal. Comes off Clifford for the second goal. And after that, then, that really took the lungs out of Clare and took the
first three scores.
Whole stadium.
First three scores. Then it's two-pointer, two goals. Like, did you watch the game? Were you just chatting? Did you actually keep your eye on the match?
No, I was absolutely watching every last.
You were facing the pitch.
I was hoping to get a little bit of a tan, you know.
What were you? Jimmy? You did.
Did anything stand out to you? Like any, you know? Obviously, David Clifford hits a 2-5, but like you know, we're not judging David Clifford on a Munster final against Clare win by 12 points.
You know us, Kerry supporters. We're animals, right? That is the case. Like that is a fact. In the second half, I think we wanted Kerry to go and, you know, put Clare to the sword. And in fairness to Clare, they did not let up. They didn't let that happen. But I think that Kerry just didn't. Again, the same thing happened, in my opinion. If I was being ultra critical of Kerry and I'm thinking, analysing this team as an All-Ireland winning possible force, against Cork, they went well ahead. And they could be accused of taking the foot off the gas a bit, or that's actually being maybe generous. It's actually letting the opposition back into it, not necessarily taking the foot off the gas. The opposition have actually come back into it of their own accord. So they let that happen against Cork. And the same thing kind of happened today. Now the game was done. They had a couple of goals, but like they didn't want to put Clare to the sword. That's how I felt. It was like, we'll just get to the end of this game. Whereas if you think about some of the teams who've been ultra successful over the last couple of years, there's this rootless greed and kind of selfishness. They want to score another goal, even if it's personally they want to get that extra point or two, or they want to crush someone, whereas I don't think that rootlessness was there in Kerry. That's the only thing I could be maybe critical of, is that in the second half, it was actually a 50-50 game, you know, which was strange. Even though the game was done, you know, it was tit for tat in the second half, and it was just kind of meh by Kerry.
I think that's a little bit harsh, Jimmy. I mean, look, maybe that's the Kerry angle there. Within 5 minutes, the game was done.
Yeah, see, that is the thing. The game was over.
And
but
you're saying you want Kerry to push out. We played in games like that as well. Like the players knew the game was over after 5 minutes. You know what I mean? And this is like. We've spoke, there's been upsets at the championship so far this season. Kerry came out and said, we are going to absolutely blow these guys away in the first 10 minutes. And they did. And no disrespect to Clare, it's just they're not at that level. So Kerry went there.
Hold on a second. What did Mickey Conroy say?
With total disrespect. No, I'm not going to be as Clare, you know, the Division 3 team playing the Division 1 champions in their own backyard. They were never going to win that game. But I thought Kerry, the pluses for Jack O'Connor, like they did win the game by 13 points as well, like to be fair. But the pluses for Jack O'Connor, Sean O'Shea came back in and looked like he didn't miss a beat. He stays in. If Pawnee Clifford coming back now. Tom Sullivan got another performance under his belt. He's going to be key for him going forward. They score 4 goals and they just move on. I wouldn't say Kerry will look at that game ever again. It's no, all Ireland series now into the group. And yeah, okay, maybe supporters want them to win by 26 points instead of 13. I would say Jack O'Connor and Kerry players might have a couple of points tonight, and that's right. Let's go.
I don't think it's
the All Ireland series.
I don't think it was a case of, say, just for the point I was making, not a case of win by more or anything. It was just a case of rootlessness. I think in a winning team is key. And even as a forward, right? If you saw someone there for the taking as a forward, especially in those new rules, you'd be like, I think you should be like, I want to rack up a score here. I want to score 2 goals, or I want to get 4 from play here. Second, I just didn't feel like that was that. If anything, in the second half, right, and this is actually why it struck me, we had the ball around, or Kerry had the ball maybe around 45, 50 yards out, and Clare were playing one-on-one inside. There was actually a couple of times where it wasn't Clifford inside, but there was actually, say, a Kerry full forward line player and a Clare full back line player, and nobody else within like 20 or 30 yards. But Kerry were happy enough to hand pass the ball around that lateral stuff.
Yeah.
Which you which you're kind of hoping that Kerry wouldn't ever do. It was like, just chip it in and
it was inside the hands to be pulling your hair out saying, kick the fucking thing
yeah,
in.
There was different. That's why I thought that almost that fella inside should want to get it to score or to make something happen. That's why I was just a little bit surprised they didn't want to take that extra step and really put Clare to the sword. But that,
I think Kerry, since that kind of Armagh game and Tralee there, just nearly 2 months ago now, there's been a noticeable improvement in terms of kicking the ball in direct. And Clifford's goal, Tony Brosnan, and he puts another couple of passes inside. When they kick the ball, they seem like they're the most striking team when they do it. Maybe they're not. The data will challenge this. But they seem like they're using that rule better than anyone else. Maybe they're just executing it better because they've got better, some of the best players in the country to do it. But that's key for them to win the All-Ireland if they're going to do it. It's the use of that. I would love for the old Dublin hat on if they started doing that, because they're not. Dublin seems to still be playing under the old rules of how passing the ball and natural stuff and being maybe a bit more conservative, whereas Kerry Geaney's having his rollback to years, nearly 10 years in his career, because he's staying inside, he's playing with Cliffy inside, and he's getting 10, 15 kick passes a game. That's Kerry have the quality to do that, and it's that will be key for him. I think you've seen it again in glimpses today, particularly that first quarter when they blew Clare away, and that's going to be key for them going forward in the All-Ireland Series. They've a relatively decent group going forward, but they'll get into Croke Park soon enough, and I think that could be, that's their X factor going through the All-Ireland Series.
Yeah, we talked plenty about Kerry again. Just a last word on Clare, James. Any players stand out to you? And in that group, as Paddy mentioned, they're going to play the Leinster winners themselves, Monaghan or Down. Do you see them getting a win and maybe getting into the preliminary quarterfinal?
To be honest, it is still going to be happening. They couldn't have probably
not the worst group.
They couldn't have picked a better group, if I'm being honest. Have to say that they're third place in Division 3 here, up against it. Like, there's no doubt that they're going to have a tough time. That said, like, what always interests me is, say at halftime in the games, right, what's said? You know, like, Clare went in there, the game was over. They're away in Killarney against a team ranked probably in the top three, if not top two in the country. They could have easily said, we'll take our beating here. But I think they still came out and played with a bit of heart and spirit and played well. So that they will take positives on that, and Peter Keane will spin that positively. And you could still hear on the sideline, even from the terrace, Peter Keane shouting at them, come on, come on. They want to get every last inch out of that game to take it into the groups. Will they get enough to go through the group? I don't know. I still think they'll find it very hard. They're obviously favourites to come forth in the group, but one result in it and they could come third.
Okay. I don't know, has my mic kind of edged off there? There could be a little issue with it.
No, we can hear you. It's just that Munster final was putting everyone to sleep, so.
Okay. Boys, we put in a big shift the last couple of days. We've got our members pod coming up on Wednesday. Just a quick word, Paddy. You're going to be in Croke Park with us on Sunday. Are you looking forward to a Leinster final without the Dubs? I know it's a funny question, but it should be an interesting game of football.
No, I think the games this weekend are going to be, I can't wait for the Ulster final. And I think this Leinster final, like we said it after last weekend, after the two semi-finals and the made upset with Dublin, this has become a massive game. You know, a Dublin Loud rematch, I would have liked that, but I don't think that the rest of the country would have been looking forward to it as much. I think Meath Loud is a brilliant game to look forward to. I thought the Connacht final today was a class game to watch. Again, the latest brilliant game of Gaelic football we've seen over the last month or two. And I think on Saturday in the Ulster final and on Sunday in Croker, we're going to get two brilliant games as well. So yeah, really looking forward to going. I am looking forward to going into it. I would rather Dublin be in it, just for the record. But consolation prize.
Do you know what the Leinster final is? It's like the Eubank against Conor Benn fight. It'll be a good fight, but they're not that quality either. Do you know what I mean?
Hey.
They'll battle it out and we'll enjoy it and it'll be brilliant, but they're not going to be...
Do you know what's going to be beautiful about the Leinster final?
Far more.
Nothing else matters.
Yeah, that might, be a good way of putting
and
it.
And all the supporters, whoever wins on Sunday, T, yeah. I agree with you. This will be monumental for the players, for the supporters. And that in itself is an exciting thing. I was maybe a bit surprised to see Galway's reaction winning their fourth Connacht title in a row. We know they have bigger fish to fry. But what we're going to see in Croke Park, for whoever comes out on top, and I know we'll preview it in a bit more detail on the member show, it will be a massive occasion. A moment for the victorious team, and that's a cool thing. That's what I am looking forward to. Yeah.
Like this is it. Like, you know, forget about the 14 in a row. There was the 5 in a row beforehand, and I actually bumped into Ray Silk today in Castlebar, and we were talking about the positive attitude. I'm not sure you remember that? It like you did. I'm not sure, but we had a laugh. We had a good laugh anyway. But this is iconic. This is career defining. This may be your only opportunity to get your hands on a trophy like that. So.
Do you know what, Jimmy? That point, the fact that neither of these teams are going to win the All-Ireland either, this is their biggest game.
Yeah.
This is their biggest game. And that nearly amps this up even more. They're not fucking thinking about, can we win the All-Ireland?
You know,
it's Sunday.
Tickets are flying out the gap. The buses are booked. You know, there's going to be a savage atmosphere. It's going to be, you know...
How many are we thinking, Tommy? How many are we thinking? We've got 70,000, 60,000, 70,000?
I think we're guaranteed 50 between Meath and Loud fans. I don't know whether we get a sprinkling of neutrals checking it out because there's going to be a savage atmosphere at it. I think 50 to 60 Croke Park though is still good. You know what I mean? Yeah, and a nice Sunday in May, maybe we won't get a huge amount. But 50, 60, I think the colour,
they'll have to go extra security around the field as well just in case anybody runs on.
Might be needed. It might be needed. Yeah.
Joe Sheridan has thrown the ball in.
You know, Meath and Loud fans might have to segregate
that. That would be class. So when they do those kind of exhibition games, someone else throws the ball and start the game. Imagine Joe Sheridan throwing, you know.
Hey, Joe would want to be making hay this week. Hey. He's got to be doing a load of media stuff.
He's
might want to see Joe Sheridan everywhere.
He has to make it. And that's actually a good idea now with the new rules that it's a 1v1. We could actually make a thing like the baseball pitch before a game, the kind of exhibition throw-up. We'll work on that one. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, all the Football Pod listeners, thanks very much. It's been an enjoyable last couple of days. Thanks to AIB for bringing us on the road to the Galmount Hotel and Spa. Beautiful hotel, James. We got to enjoy it. We got to enjoy a night out in Galway as well. Poor Paddy didn't. But Paddy, we'll make it up to you. We'll sort something out.
I was at Lowen by the time you were still signing autographs, lads. Fucking hell.
We had a great night. Thanks. Big thanks to Finian Hanley and to Mickey Conroy, Mickey C, Michael, whatever you want to call him. An absolute legend. Same with Finian. We had a great crack, great night, a great Connacht final today. James O'Donoghue, you got a tan, you enjoyed yourself. Paddy Andrews, you need to get back to bed. I'm going to let you go.
I'm going back to sleep, lads. I'm going back to sleep.
Yeah. As always, the pod is brought to you with thanks to AIB. Check out hashtag the Tuffins for more. We'll be back on Wednesday with our members pod. We hope to see plenty of you there, and enjoy your week and your bank holiday. Thanks very much.
Cheers, boys.
Class, lads. Great stuff.